It's Friday. It's 9 a.m. You know what that means. Another great episode of the Ringside Rant is with you this week. And introducing your host, he is Cincinnati's favorite son, J.D. Justin Davis. And from Rochester, New York, he is the man with the magical voice, RJ. And as always, welcome to Ranters Nation.
Welcome back to another episode of Ringside Rant. I am the man with the magic voice, RJ. He is Mr. JD, Justin Davis. Justin, what's up, man?
Not much. Just ready to start the weekend here and get old Huntington, and got through another week's worth of work, and no big news. Just another week down toward the Christmas break is what I'm thinking as far as the teacher goes.
I would say, but you guys get an extended vacation there. You go right through the new year. You don't like go back the next week, right?
Yeah, we get 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So already kind of circling that on the calendar, but
it's really highlighted and arrows and all that shit on the calendar.
Finished up the volleyball season last night, so no more refereeing volleyball for me, and get a few weeks off before we start refereeing basketball. So.
Because you do boys and girls, right?
If that's the way you want to word it, yeah.
Well, male and female basketball games. Jesus Christ.
I do whatever. Referee both genders basketball.
Yeah, because I couldn't remember if you did one or the other or both or whatever. But anyways, Dave is out this week. He's actually on his way to, I believe he said Texas, right? Because he's going to his stepdaughter's renewals.
I think it's his daughter, isn't it?
His daughter
is getting married to the same dude again. They're renewing their vows.
That's what it was. Okay. I couldn't remember if it was his stepdaughter or his daughter. I don't know. Well, he's dedicated. That's all we can say. We appreciate we miss you, Dave, and we hope you're not having too much fun down there. So, because he's going down to Texas, right, or over to Texas.
Yep, he's in his favorite place.
Well, his Stars won last night. The Sabres won last night, so I made sure of that. And
at least he's happy. Sunday night against the Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Yeah, straight nose dive.
I'm with Plaid Man Brad on this one.
Why? With the Eagles?
Eagles fan. We're going Eagles over Cowboys Sunday night. Sunday night football.
How can they tie and just both of them suck? Because
no, I think the Eagles are gonna whip that ass.
So do you hate the Cowboys more than you hate the Eagles?
Oh yeah, I don't hate the Eagles. I hate the Cowboys though.
I think there's, especially with the Dallas Cowboys, I don't think there's, you know, a gray area. It's either you like them or you don't like them. You know, and obviously everybody knows my history with the Dallas Cowboys being a Bills fan. So you don't need to go into that and open up those old wounds again. Everybody's up in arms. Oh, we want Dak back. We want Dak back. And you guys are winning. Why are you going to fuck it up?
They're about to have a quarterback controversy, I think. They've already got a running back controversy. So.
Well, there's no controversy about it. They just don't give Zeke the ball. That's why. But
yeah, unless it's third and short, it seems like.
Right. It's the same thing that they had that when Martin Strawn was in Seattle. They give everybody else the ball when third and short, and he'd run everywhere else. But it's funny to see that there's no controversy in Cincinnati either.
No, nobody can run the ball in Cincinnati now. So.
Hey. Keep in mind, I'm a Bills fan. We haven't had a running game since what? Thurman Thomas?
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. We got KC this week. It's going to be, it's a 4:25, 4:30 game on CBS from Kansas
that's
City.
A good game. I'm looking forward to watching that. After I watch my Bengals kick a little Saints ass in New Orleans this weekend.
Oh, you guys are in New Orleans, huh?
Yes.
But it was interesting to see, were they the ones, think it was the Saints. Did you like the Saints' new helmets they had last week? The black helmets with the gold accents?
Yeah, I did. I thought it was pretty cool.
I kind of like those. I didn't know they were doing the color rush then.
I've always been a fan of the Saints colors.
Yeah.
I like
Well, but you can't mess that up, though. It's like the Steelers. It's like you can't mess up black and yellow, you know?
Listen, don't compare the two. The Saints uniform is way better.
I knew that was good. Come on, I gotta grind the salt into the wound. But no, it's gonna be a good weekend for football. You got baseball postseason, hockey's starting, mm-hmm. basketball starting. So
Yankees lose. That's always a good day when I get to see that.
I'll be honest. I have not watched a hell of a lot of baseball this year. I don't know what it is.
Last weekend, that one game with the Indians and Rays, or I'm sorry, Guardians and Rays, that went
I know what you meant.
15 innings in the 15th.
Oh, the walk off, right?
Yeah, in the 15th inning, it was 0-0. I watched that game. That was a fantastic baseball game. I love pitchers' duels.
I'll watch the highlights, but I just can't sit there and watch a game like I do for a football or hockey game or something like that, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I love playoff baseball. I was just watching the Phillies and Braves, and the Phillies are kicking the shit out of the Braves right now. So,
as long as the Braves don't win, I don't care.
Yeah, me too. I'm not a big Braves fan. But what are we talking about this week, other than baseball and football and all that good stuff?
Get a little bit of everything. But a big thing that I am a fan of is 2001 WWE, and that's what's on the docket today. We're actually talking about No Mercy 2001 coming to us on October 21st, 2001. I don't know why I wanted to say 2021. I might have said that before, too. I can't even remember. But anyways, 2001, St. Louis, Missouri, 15,647 fans. We're in the heat of this whole invasion angle. It's starting to kind of, slow down a little bit, try to, calm down a little bit. We're about a month away from Survivor Series, which is basically going to put an end to it. That may be a future episode we have coming down the pipeline here. But what do you think coming into this? Do you think that in October of 2001, the invasion angle really was working?
It felt weird to me, even listening back to it, mm-hmm. and watching it, when JR said something like, the Rock's a WWE guy, but he's got the WCW belt, just all that type of talk just felt very weird listening to it back.
Yeah. Were you watching it this time or no?
Kind of.
Here and there?
This is about when I quit watching, I think, around this time.
Well, so the invasion angle really didn't do it for you. She's out of the hell with it. They suck. Why not?
Yeah. I was looking forward to the whole WCW versus WWE angle. And then once I saw how bad it was, I was like, man, fuck this.
Do you think they could work it today with some sort of invasion angle?
I know
they tried it with like AEW and ROH and all that shit, but I don't think so. I think the only people that really can do it would be WWE. And it's like, I know they dabbled with the whole Survivor Series with NXT invading Raw and Raw invading SmackDown. It's just like, nobody gave a shit. It's like, mm-hmm. we've seen this shit before. But, to hop right into this, though, there was a lot of build to this pay-per-view. But the opening contest is for the WCW Tag Team Championships. The Hardy Boys are your champions. Yes, those Hardy Boys.
That seemed weird too, like right out of the chute. Like the Hardy Boys are the WCW tag team champions.
I just didn't get it. It's like Hardy Boys. I'm like, I get it, you want to pad the title reigns, but they're facing the Hurricane and Lance Storm. So, and they're part of the Alliance. So it's like, why would you? The Hurricane is a WWF character, right? Yeah. Lance Storm's good wherever he is. It doesn't matter. He could be ECW, he could be WCW, he could be whichever. But why not be like Sugar Shane Helms or something like that? Why would you have to be, or just be Shane Helms? Why are you going to be Hurricane?
Yeah, to take the yeah. I don't
you,
know.
You know what I mean? Am I the only one that thinks there's anything off with that?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, probably just me. It's just. I guess it's just a little things, but you know, all in all, a lot of these guys are, you know, they're working well together. Obviously, the Hurricane, Shane Helms, has a lot of history with the Hardy Boys. Matt and Jeff, they grew up together in North Carolina, so they work well together either way. They wrestled together all over the independents, in Omega in North Carolina. You know, and Lance Storm, you know, trained obviously up in the dungeon, I believe. And, you know, he had his runs there, Smoky Mountain and WCW, ECW. He knows one of probably legitimate, one of the best trainers of all time in professional wrestling, I think.
Mm-hmm. He's one of the all time underrated guys, Lance Storm. Could do really everything except for have a great promo. But
I always wondered, you know, and that was always his knock, that he was never that big time, you know, heavyweight champion or that big champion that'd be the face of the company, because he couldn't cut a promo and he didn't have a personality. You can lump, you know, Dean Malenko in that same category where he couldn't have a good promo. He had no personality. Why wouldn't you, you know, put somebody with him, be a mouthpiece? You know what I mean? Because I think you started to have him come out of his shell a little bit later, probably about two, three more years here in 03, 04, when he's with the Young Americans, with Christian and Test and Regal, where he didn't have to talk all the time. You had Regal to talk. You had Christian to talk. Even Test wasn't that bad at mic skills. But, you know, with Storm, it's just like, okay, you know what you have, and you know you could basically, you could have a match with anybody and make it look good. Why not? Why would you not want to put your more stock in him? I know he's IC champion. I know he's tag champ. I get that. Maybe that was as high as he could have gone. But it seems to me that a lot of these, I guess you could call them mid-cards guys, do a lot more in the business as far as producers, as far as coaches. You know, you look at Lance Storm for one, you look at Hurricane for another, you look at a guy like Jerry Lynn in an AEW, and they're producing and they're doing damn good jobs. So, but what did you think of this match going back? It got 3.25 stars from Uncle Dave. You know, not all in all, not a bad match. Man hits the Twist of Fate on Hurricane, and Jeff hits the Swanton Bomb for the win to retain. Honestly, a lot of the same stuff that you can see you've seen for years leading up to this, and you'll see after it from the Hardy Boys.
Yeah, no, I thought this was a great match to open with. Good, fast, you know, really solid opener. What do you give it? Three and a quarter star. Yeah, that's about. It's about a 3.5 star match for me.
Yeah. But it was what it was. It got the crowd hyped, hyped about it. So it wasn't. It proved the point. The one thing that I found interesting, and we'll get into this throughout the show, is a lot of backstage stuff, man. No, we're going to see RVD and Regal here. RVD's coming into the arena. Regal's going to say he's going to suggest to apologize to Stone Cold for insulting him. RVD said no. You know, they're really building up this main event between Angle, Austin, and RVD for the WWF title. It's just like, too much. Going back, watching it in 2001, I loved it. But now it's like, man, this doesn't really do it for me anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it was a little bit too much. A lot of backstage stuff that was just really not needed.
Right.
You know, just kind of filler.
And we're going to see Vince come out of his stretch limo. And it's just way too much. I know you're trying to fill time and whatnot, but it's like, there's got to be better times. There's a lot of guys backstage now. That's the thing that I really think that killed the invasion. There was just so many goddamn people backstage. Because, yes, I know you had a lot of TV to do as far as SmackDown and Raw, and then you had, I believe, was it Heat, Sunday Night Heat and Velocity and all these Saturday night shows and whatever, but you weren't even using them.
No.
You know, you're only using the bigger guys, bigger name guys anyways, because you want to draw the ratings, which I get, but it's just like, all right, well, whatever.
I think around this time was when overexposure really started to take a toll on the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Many shows, you know, blah, 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 to where they were stretching themselves too thin.
So you could really compare this type of time here in 2001 to what we saw later with the Authority era. We'll call the Authority era. I'm calling it the Authority era. And where just people, they just kept on doing the same shit day in, day out, show in, show out. And people got pissed off, and they, you know, for example, you stopped watching. So it's like, why the hell am I going to sit here? It's the same shit every night.
Mm-hmm.
But this next match, man, I really dug this one. It's two big dudes. You have Test as part of the Alliance. You had Kane, part of the WWF, three-star match. Dude, you're not going to really have these guys flipping and flopping all over the place, but for the most part, two of the best athletic big men of all time in the company. And you know, unfortunately, Test no longer with us, but you know, Kane could, you know, you could do it with the best of them, you know, throwing drop kicks or power slams or top rope shit or whatever. Kane could do it all. And so it's him a test.
I mean, I was surprised how good this match was. I did not expect this match to be what it was at all. I mean, for this match to get 3 stars from Meltzer with these two in the ring, I think that says something for these two. And I think the crowd was hugely into this match. They were kind of living and dying on every move.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of a screwy finish. Kane gets beat. I liked it. I really enjoyed it. Like I said, the most, I would say this was the, what would you call it? Like the biggest surprise of the card for me.
Like an upset.
It was the biggest upset of the card. I didn't expect this match to be good.
You know, the one thing I didn't like, don't get me wrong, I love Nick Patrick and all, but who gives a shit if he's dirty? We did this shit in WCW. Yeah. Why are we going to try it here?
Nick Patrick's always dirty. He needs to take a fucking bath.
Right. Seen, not heard. Shut up. Count to three. And you got what you got. You got a damn double choke slam from Kane, so you can suck it.
Mm-hmm.
I just hate having referees involvement unless it's necessary, and wasn't necessary here. There's a time and place for anything, you know, whether it be ref bumps or referees getting involved in matches. You know, I think this will put a little bit of damper on the match too, because yeah, you want some sort of screwy finish, but this isn't the way to do it. But you know, Tess goes over here, over Kane, and then we go backstage yet again. You can see Jonathan Coachman, backstage with Stone Cold and Deborah. I kind of dug this, I'll be honest with you, just because this is that funny era of Stone Cold Steve Austin where he's basically saying things and, you know, Deborah's his interpreter pretty much.
Yeah, that was kind of stupid.
It was kind of funny. It was kind of let me up moment. It's like, okay, you came out of the Kane test match. It was kind of serious. Let's have a chuckle or two, you know?
I don't know. It just made me miss the old Stone Cold character because he would have never done that shit.
Yeah, but his check still looks the same here. He's still getting paid, so why not have a little fun? But they're really coming out of that angle with Kurt and himself. With Vince too, so it's like, okay, well, and coming off that work, they're still trying at it. But one thing that was our moment of the week was Stacy Keibler walking backstage when she runs into Matt Hardy, and she asked him what he thought of her lingerie, as Stacy Keibler and Tori Wilson will have a lingerie match coming up next.
Yep.
So let me put it this way. Tori Wilson, Stacey Keibler, Lita. And in lieu of our friends over at the Kickout Crew, fuck, marry, kill. Tori Wilson, Stacey Keibler, and Lita.
Kill Lita.
Okay.
Fuck Tori Wilson and marry Stacey Keibler, because I want to see that all day long.
Great minds think alike, my friend. I was actually going to go that same way too, but you can't go wrong with either one. I'll give you that much. But no, shout out to our buddies.
The only thing
over.
I hated about this match, if you want to call it a match, which it was,
right?
No King. King would have been so.
Oh, puppies
and everything, and he's not there, which sucks. But you know, I will say something for the commentary. I thought JR and Paul Heyman were fantastic together. The whole show, I thought they were great.
Well, but for those of you that don't know the history of Paul Heyman and JR, that goes all the way back to the NWA days, right? Because they were in like WCW, NWA. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were in the company at the same time, as you say. They weren't working on commentary. Heyman was the manager. JR was the announcer, of course. But something else I found interesting, too, is Tori Wilson is considered WWF. Where Stacy's the alliance, you know, you go back probably what, 4 months, 3 months maybe, and they're doing the whole invasion pay per view, and Tori's part of the alliance, so it's like, I know she's doing this whole thing with Tajiri, but it's like Tajiri kid, it was part of both ECW and WWE, so it's like, okay. This is the problem that they had. It's like so many people, guys like Tajiri or something, or Tori Wilson had, you know, hats in both rings, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I didn't get it. It was what it was. You know, it's 2001 WWF. What are you going to have? You're going to have a lingerie pillow fight or lingerie mats or whatever. Wait a minute. The lingerie pillow fight is at my house in about an hour. So, well, yeah, think about that and try to sleep later, guys. Brian Haremza is up here with a question. He said, by this point, had you guys felt that the Alliance storyline has run its course? I know we talked about it earlier in the show, but after seeing a couple matches here, what do you think? Do you think that's true? They're really trying to drop hints of, okay, we're really kind of trying to end this?
I don't know. I mean, I don't remember. I think, like I said, this is kind of when I kind of quit watching. So
sure.
And I didn't watch any shows around this pay-per-view, so I'm just not – I don't know if I can take a snapshot out of this and be able to answer that correctly.
Right. I just think you watching this pay-per-view, you're really starting to see the fact that, you know, people aren't really starting to give a shit about this whole angle. And it's really starting to become evident that maybe we're not gonna do it much longer, which I get. You know, I think they really wanted to do this whole thing with Survivor Series because that was really the end all be all kind of thing. But backstage, we go again to two interviews. We won't really give too much time on this. Michael Cole and Kurt Angle are backstage. Here comes Vince, whatever. But I could care less about these interviews. I really just let's get to the wrestling. Let's not talk.
One thing I hated about this time period is like between every match on these papers, you had to go back for some stupid like halfway comedy angle when it's really not even comedy. But
and I get with the whole Christian one setting up the next match between himself and Edge for the IC title in a ladder match. I get that.
That was more of just an old school promo.
But you could simply just do some sort of vignette showing the history of them. You don't have to do an interview. You know, maybe it's just me. I prefer that. But it's just like, cut a promo. Great. In and out. You don't need to have this whole drawn out thing. But the IC title, your champion, Christian is putting his title on the line. against Edge. 3.75. This is actually the third highest ranked match on this card. The other two are going to be the two heavyweight title matches that we're going to talk about in a little bit.
I was excited when I saw this match was a match.
I really did too, because everybody knows their history.
Yeah, it was a solid match. Both these guys right smack in their prime and for the Intercontinental title, and we see an Intercontinental title switch, and the babyface goes over. Good finish. I thought it was really, just very basic architect how I would put this match together.
Did you feel that this was just another ladder match, or do you think there was any more, extra panache to it?
I mean, I thought it was better than just another ladder match. Right. I mean, there's no way you can watch that ladder match and Shawn and Razor's ladder match and tell me that this one compared to Shawn and Razor's is just another ladder match, because I don't believe that. I think this match, you can make an argument, did a lot more different things for sure than Shawn and than Razor did.
Because keep in mind, they're coming off the ladder match there at the Alamo Dome. Or not the Alamo Dome, excuse me, the Astrodome. In for WrestleMania, so they're coming off the heels of that. So it's like, how many more ladder matches can we really have? How many these types of tag team matches can we have, or single matches where your tag team partners are facing each other? But it is what it was. It was a hell of a match. If you watch any match on this card, I'd suggest this. But Edge ends up winning the title again. One of the better IC champions of all time, in my opinion, is Edge. You put him up there with the likes of Jericho. Bret Hart's up there. Austin's up there. Triple H is up there. Rock's up there. So the IC title has a lot of history, a lot of lineage, too. So whether this overshadowed the title matches or not, who knows? But we can talk about that when we talk about the title matches.
What did Meltzer? Did you know what Meltzer gave this one?
3.75.
Okay.
And the two heavyweight title matches got 4.5. So we're gonna have a WCW Championship match and the WWF Triple Threat match. Mm-hmm. Both of those got 4.5 stars. So all in all, Uncle Dave really liked this pay per view. If you want to go by his ratings, obviously they're very subjective, like we said before. But it's just getting to give you a barometer on what your quote unquote experts think of that. Like I said, very subjective. So take it with a grain of salt for what it's worth. But Devin Dowling up. So we'll say, you know what? Fuck you, Sammy Guevara, just in lieu of Devin Dowling. But he asks, why did Edge and Christian never have a great match against each other?
Huh?
You'd think that wasn't
a great match.
Well, he's probably like -6 at this time, so he doesn't even know what the hell he's talking about. Yeah. Craig, he thinks the best match of all time is Sammy Guevara in the whatever match. It doesn't matter as long as Sammy Guevara is involved. But he says you'd think ex partners would have great chemistry to make a fantastic story, but these two feel like they've never clicked. Are we watching the same pay-per-view as Devin? Are we watching the same feud as Devin? Obviously he does his homework, I will give that, but this is one thing where he's completely off base.
His opinions are about like Money Mike's. They both can just go in the trash. I mean, how are you gonna say Edge and Christian didn't have good? I mean, I think they work really well together in a ring, whether they're tagging or working against each other. They're just too good not to be good at it.
But I think out of these three tag teams in this era, Edge and Christian, Hardys and Dudleys, Edge and Christian had the better chemistry of the group. I'm not saying
they were my favorite out of those three tag teams.
I love the Hardy boys. They're probably 1A and 1B. And I'm not discrediting either team, but man, Jeff, they just didn't, they had great feuds against each other, but it just didn't do it for me. And it's nothing against them personally, it's just I'd rather see them wrestle either as a tag team or against other people, not against each other. With Edge and Christian, it just clicked, it looked like. But you know, obviously that's very subjective, but Plaid Brad is actually up next. He says, do you like Edge and Christian feuding, or would you have rather them stayed friends, even if not a tag team? So basically, do you want to see him fight, or do you want to see him part of a tag team?
This is pro wrestling. Every tag team fights eventually.
Well, of course.
If they're worth a damn. So,
yeah. I would have liked them.
Their tag team breaks up and just goes, all right, bye. I'll talk to you next week.
Road Warriors? Road Warriors?
Well,
But the thing is, though, when you compare tag teams from that era, Road Warriors, Demolition, you can't compare it to this era because they were actual tag team together. You know what I mean? These guys are just thrown together. Well, theoretically, they're just thrown together.
One tag team that I know that never broke up and they were true and true together their whole time. The Mulkey Brothers.
Oh, I thought you were going to go Heart Foundation. I'm like, what the fuck?
No, the Mulkey Brothers, man. I mean, what a dedicated team those two. And how over were they?
Just ask them.
I used to hang from the rafters to see the Mulkey Brothers get thrown 80 rows deep by Animal and Hog.
Well, that's why. They didn't want to get hit. They were hanging from the rafters because they didn't want to get hit by these bastards getting thrown into the stands by them.
That going through the middle rope backwards bump that they used to take is one of the craziest bumps I've ever seen.
It just looks nasty. I don't care who you are. That just doesn't look safe.
I don't know how
safe.
They never broke their tailbones and shit doing that.
Or even break their necks, though. You hit one of those ropes just the right way and clip it. Dude, you're going head first on cement because in those that area, you know, they're not, they don't have pads.
The sons of bitches is the monkeys were doing that, getting killed by Hulk and Animal for probably $30 a night.
Yeah, that's the sad part. I'm like, they're not getting paid dick, and they're basically getting assaulted and murdered pretty much. But we have
that one time when the Mulkey Brothers won and the crowd and everybody went crazy. Remember
they
that?
They cheered for him. What the hell? They finally won.
And like the Mulkey Brothers didn't even know what to do when they won. They didn't know how to react.
So why are the
Kamala when he tried to pin someone? Like, what do I do?
So why are the Mulkey Brothers at Cincinnati Bengals?
Well, they go over every now and then.
You know, somebody else that went over every now and then was Spike Dudley. We see him at the World setting up the WWF Tag Team World Tag Team Championships between his quote-unquote brothers, D-Von and Bubba Ray, taking on the team of Big Show and Tajiri. I don't know. It just didn't do it for me.
Was probably to me the worst card or the worst match on the card.
Oh, by far, and it was 3/4 of a star.
Yeah,
or 3¼ star. Excuse me, but it just didn't. Show's trying to basically carry this team, guys. Case in point, nobody's gonna beat the Dudley Boys in this era. I guarantee you. Unless it's like the fucking Undertaker and Kane, the Brothers of Destruction, he ain't beating you. And they didn't. The Dudley Boys retained their WWF Tag Team Championships. And we got Undertaker defeating Booker T. Just this match kind of seemed out of place.
Yeah.
I get it. You want to get Booker on the card, but you really want to basically feed him to the Undertaker?
Yeah, I did dig Undertaker's music, though.
Because this is the rolling one, right?
Yeah. I usually hate that version of the Undertaker, the American Bad. And I don't know what JR was calling him, some red booger. The hell is that? Is that his...
Big freaking... Red? Big Evil?
No, something... Bigger, something red booger. Is that his fucking Viking gimmick name now?
It like, could that... be. I don't know. I don't remember. I don't remember him saying anything about that though. To be honest.
Well, yeah, it was weird. But anyways, I dug Undertaker's music. Undertaker still was. You know, this was obviously before he was. He was still working pretty good here. But I think this is kind of the time period where he started to gain a little weight. and kind of work at a heavier,
You're talking Undertaker, right?
Mm-hmm.
It served their purpose. You can't go wrong with these two veterans in the business being Undertaker and Booker. 3.25 stars. But it just seemed like this could have been a lot better if it was indifferent. It was either higher on the card, because you're pretty much keeping them. You're not having much hope after that last match into this one.
Yeah. This probably was just a bit of a cooler until the last two matches.
So how many times have you ever done a spin-a-rooney?
I've done a few.
Yeah,
I have.
Yeah. Sober?
Yeah, yes.
I can't imagine you're really going to have too many more, dude.
I don't know that there's any spin-a-roonies in my future, though, but I have done it.
You may hurt yourself after that shit.
Yeah.
But we're backstage again for another freaking interview with Coachman and Jericho. As Jericho is going against The Rock for the WCW title coming up next. Just setting them up. I get these types of backstage, Justin, as far as they're setting something up. But it's just like, I miss the vignettes.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing these stand-up interviews for, is they're taking place of those vignettes. You would think, okay, let's save money and do these vignettes instead of hiring somebody to do these interviews.
Well, they do obviously do the video packages before mm-hmm. the matches, at least before the big ones here.
Mm-hmm.
Their video packages are always pretty good. But, I enjoy going back to the old school, promo interview before the match. But the problem is they don't have a Mean Gene.
Yeah, there's only one Mean Gene, man. There was only, everybody knows what we think of Mean Gene and how much we love him and loved his work. And, wish we were still here. Obviously, at this point, anyways, obviously he'd be fairly on the older side at this point. But, Mike Whitaker, everybody's, favorite lawn gnome is up. He says every match was WWF versus Alliance besides Jericho versus Rock. That was for the WCW championship. What are your thoughts and why do you think they did it this way? And a little side note, he says, why does Skyline Chili still suck? Because they have not figured out how to put a New York spin on it. That is why.
Yeah. This coming from the dude, the home of the damn garbage plate.
Potato, man.
I'll give Rochester one thing. At least they call it what it is.
I'll give you that much. I'm not honest. I've been here about 15 years, moving out here from Buffalo, and I think I can count on one hand how many times I've had a garbage plate.
Listen, I don't know. Whitaker can talk all his shit about Skyline. It's got to be better than stewed possum or whatever the hell he's cooking up down there tonight. So, I'll eat Skyline. Actually, I had some Skyline this week here at the house.
Really?
Bought me a couple cans here at the house, made some spaghetti, had some shredded cheese. We was loaded up.
Why not?
Ready to go.
Yeah, I would say it was just in time for, get the heat up here locally.
Now,
it's
what
like,
was it, what was this question? The beginning of that.
Why was it basically every other match was WCW versus the Alliance?
Uh-huh.
But this one wasn't. It was basically two WWF guys.
Yeah. I don't know. I wasn't paying that close of it.
I really don't think people really gave a shit at this point, to be honest. Because technically, if you want to get technical, you can consider the Rock part of the Alliance because he's a WCW champion technically.
When I was watching this, I wasn't paying attention to like who's on what side, which I probably should have been. I was more paying attention to like, oh yay, I get to watch Edge and Christian fight now. Oh awesome, I get to see Jericho versus The Rock. I was just more paying attention to the stars and who was fighting who, more than, oh, this guy's Alliance, this guy's not. I just didn't pay much attention to that storyline just for this pay-per-view. I feel like I would have had to watch the Raws and stuff leading up to that to get a better idea of
to
what
get
was
a setup,
going on.
Yeah. But yeah, we're going to see a fairly good match. Just like I said before, this get 4.5 stars. You can't go wrong with these two guys. Two of the best workers of all time, future Hall of Famers. And this is for the kind of the reincarnation of the big gold here. I would assume that you're going to like the original Big Gold instead of this one, right?
Yes. Is this the one that has the red things on it or whatever? Yeah.
This one's just the rubies, you mean?
Yeah.
Quote unquote.
Yeah.
This one just looks like a toy.
Yeah.
You know, maybe, but who knows? Devin Dowling asked, how do you feel about no WCW's wrestler being booked for a WCW championship? We really established that. I don't know why I missed that, because that was part of the other question that Whitaker asked, but what can I expect from Sammy Guevara, son of a whatever? Okay. While we got that here, before we get to our next match, we're going to see Jericho win the title here. Huge, huge pop for Jericho's victory. But where do you stand, before we get to this main event, where do you stand on this whole controversy, whatever you want to call it, between Guevara and Andrade?
I don't really stand anywhere on it, honestly.
You don't give a shit either way?
I don't know anything either way, because I wasn't in there. I know that these two have issues. Now, if I had to pick who's going to win that fight, I'm going Andrade, if that's the question. I don't know what their beef with each other is. You know, it's just, to me, both of them are being a little bit... I think that whole locker room's out of control, and I think it's all Tony Khan's fault. That's what I think about it.
Well, I just think, because the main thing, my understanding, is Andrade was pissed that he wasn't being used on TV, and guys like Sammy Guevara are, because he's Tony's guys.
Good argument.
Yeah, but he should be. You go from an NXT product where you're their champion, you're going to the main roster where you're the United States champion, and you go down in here because you think grass is greener on the other side. Hey, pal, grass isn't always greener on the other side.
I don't see it as a linear equation, though. I don't know why he picks Sammy Guevara to be the guy to bitch about, because Sammy Guevara could get over and Andre could get over at the same time. It doesn't have to be a one or the other choice.
Right.
So I do agree that they don't seem to be using Andre at all, or very much at all, or doing anything with him. So
right.
I'd be pissed if I was him. I don't know why, you know, what's caused the heat between him and Sammy Guevara specifically, but it is what it is.
Because I don't think Andrade like cares for Tony, because we got Sammy's one of his guys, and he's only getting over because he's one of Tony's guys.
But honestly, the way I've treated this is, I don't really give a shit about it. It's, like I said, it's another symptom of a sick locker room, and the doctor, Mr. Khan, doesn't have any medicine for it, apparently. And that's about all I have to say about that.
But we'll see. Obviously, this isn't going to be, you know, a one-off kind of thing. You're probably going to see a lot more shit coming out. But main event time, 4.5 stars, your WWF Championship match here. Stone Cold, your champion, taking on Kurt Angle and Rob Van Dam. Do you think RVD was just plugged in this match because of, what the fuck? What else are we going to do with him?
Probably. I think RVD was hugely over with the fans here.
Oh, without question. I think RVD's always been over with any fan base that he's in, any promotion he's been a part of.
I think The Rock and Austin are your two stars, right? And I think RVD and Jericho are kind of down there, kind of. Leighton and Angle, kind of all in that next level. One thing I did want to say about the last match with Jericho and Rock, this one thing, and Rock did this a lot. I hate the false finish is when I do your finish and then you do my finish on me. And then we both kick out of each other's finish. Mm-hmm. And then we both make each other's finish look like shit. And I just don't like that when I do your finish on you and you do my finish on me and then we both kick out of it. And I that spot is so overdone. Because but now,
been,
like
they've
nowadays,
been doing it forever.
You'll see, nowadays you'll see at the end of a match, you know, the Young Bucks kick everyone and then the other team does their shit and everyone kicks out of it and then they keep going a little bit longer and then they do it again and then they win. It's the same spot done over and over again. It's freaking annoying. Can't you guys come up with anything new and different?
Well, it's like AEW.
Doing your finish or the other person's finish on them and having all these false finishes. Every match with that crap.
But every promotion does it, though. But it depends on to what extent, though. Some companies, like an AEW, does it every fucking pay-per-view or show or whatever, where WWE, yeah, we'll do it every once in a while, or Impact or, you know, New Japan or MLW or whatever. They're doing it every once in a while.
Yeah.
But a couple questions. We got one from Devin and one from Bryant. Devin wants to know, was RVD ready for the spotlight and the main event match here?
Oh, I think so.
I think you look at it two different ways. You can look at it one way as far as, hey, yeah, well, he wasn't really ready. He wasn't as over with some fans, and he wasn't, you know, prototypical Vince guy being a big ass dude, or, you know, he was, you know, average guy, no taller than you or I, but he's athletic as shit. He gets over with the fans. So I think that's why that he was put into this match.
Almost like a more explosive Owen Hart.
Yeah. Yeah.
But couldn't wrestle as good as Owen.
Right.
But definitely even more of the athletic moves than maybe Owen could do.
Yeah. Now, looking at this back, you know, you're watching it for the first time. Do you think RVD really stood a chance of winning?
No, not really.
It was did the right guy win? Austin wins, but do you think Angle should have won?
No.
Because I think they're long-term booking, because I think that's what they're going to make the change there next month at the pay-per-view at Survivor Series.
Survivor Series. Yeah, I think that's what you do here.
You prolong it to probably set up another match there.
Yeah. No, I didn't have a problem with Austin winning at all.
No. I think the right, you want to keep the titles on the main guys. You can see, obviously, with Jericho winning, he's becoming that main guy. You know, The Rock is kind of passing the torch to Jericho a little bit there. And you got Austin here as your WWF champion. So you got the right guys in place. It's just a matter of, okay, let's get these guys, put other guys over. Brian Haramsa wants to know, do you guys feel this was Rob Van Dam's breakout moment being in the main event?
Yeah, it was a start. I don't know if this is a breakout moment, but it was a start.
To start
getting considered for main event spots.
It was either this one or when he had the ladder match against Eddie on Raw for the IC title. One of the two was his breakout moment, because that match, if you go back, I believe it was on a Raw. I can't remember off the top of my head what year it was. I want to say it was probably 2002-03, you know, not much long after this. But it's one thing that, you know, we can say about RVD is RVD can get over with anybody. You know, like I said, whether it be ECW, WWE, hell, you could go to fucking WCW and potentially see him there, and he would still get over it. Maybe he'd still get over with the cruiserweights. Can you imagine RVD in 97, 96, 98 in the cruiserweight division in WCW?
Oh, God, yeah, that'd be awesome.
You put him, transport him back there. I think him in that era.
This fatal four-way for the cruiserweight title, RVD, Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, Chris Jericho.
Take my money, man. Take my money. But the thing is, though, I think if he was, a few years older or younger or what have you, whatever way we put him in his prime there in WCW 97, I think RVD would have gotten over more so.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, of course.
Yeah, but I mean, he did have ECW chops, you know, street chops with the fans here, street cred. I mean, so.
Right. No, I get that, but it's just like, eh. All in all, whatnot. But we, like I said, we see Austin go over. You know, all in all, Justin, looking back on this, how do you feel this pay per view was? When?
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, top to bottom, there wasn't a match on this card that I can say, man, that was an absolute dud stinker. Every match was solid. You know, if that Undertaker and Booker T match, well, I mean, probably the lingerie match, right?
Right, yeah, probably.
I would put that at the bottom. But as far, I don't know if that's a match. As far as the matches go,
I think there's more of like an attraction or a segment.
If Undertaker and Booker T is like at the bottom of the list, I think that means it's a pretty good pay-per-view. Because that was not a bad match.
Yeah, that was, but it proved a point. You know, you got veterans here in the business. They're trying to fight for their respective brands. No, and they did it the right way.
I like the IC match. I like the Jericho Rock match. Other than that finish, that all that stupid shit that I bitched about.
How way I would rank it? I would do the best show or best match was the Jericho Rock, then the ladder match, then the main event, mm-hmm. and then you know you go probably the opener, the two tag. Or the other tag, the WWF.
That Kane match was really good. Yeah. Like I said, I mean,
I would honestly, I would really say that the WWEF whatever tag team championship match is probably the worst match on the card, and it wasn't that bad of a match. Don't get me wrong, but from what it's out there,
I give it 3 3/4 who days out of 5.
You won't give them 4 who days?
Not quite 4. Just because I don't know that enough big stuff really happened other than Intercontinental Switch. I mean, I guess Jericho did beat Rock.
Right.
So, but I, 3 3/4 who days.
Hello, it's Kurt Angle, 1996 Olympic gold medalist and 13-time world professional wrestling champion for Curable Active. My job for years as a top professional wrestler was to give millions of wrestling fans 5-star matches they would remember for a lifetime. But to do my job, I had to put my body on the line. Unfortunately, I'm paying the price with injuries I've had on the mat and in the pro wrestling ring. My neck, which I broke 5 times, and I just had double knee replacement surgery, so I know pain. Aches and pains are part of life. And pain sucks. You can suffer with it or manage it with all-natural Curable Active. This decision changed my life. I apply Curable Active daily to my achy areas for soothing pain relief. If Curable Active can get me through my day, there's a good chance it can help you too. Get Curable Active just like thousands of others and save 20% today. Go to Curable.com, use promo code KURT20. That's KURIBL.com, code KURT20.
It's that time of the year, folks. It's the holiday season, and Justin's really kicking it off with some generosity. but something that we've been very generous about is these rivalries lists that we have been having, Justin. A lot of people are giving our just due with these lists. Once I get off here, I got to post it online because I thought I posted it and I didn't, and I know some people want to see it, but anyways, that was last week. This is this week. We got 2 additions to this week. Justin, what do you got this week adding to the list?
I think this is a good one. This is one that I certainly remember growing up, and definitely you can say changed the business of wrestling, and NWO versus WCW.
But this was a rivalry, Justin. Same if I correct it, and mine is going to be the same, along the same lines. Really transcends time. If it wasn't for this rivalry, I don't think we would have seen WCW last as long. Mm-hmm. You know, because that kicked off in '96 there, and if you, for the better part of 2 years, it ran wild, pun intended.
Mm-hmm. I think this is a top 5 easily. I think this goes number 2.
Over Hogan Savage?
Over Hogan and Savage.
You think it's better that
NWO versus WCW catapulted WCW to the top of wrestling, not only for a short amount of time, but if someone would remind you, it was 83 damn weeks in a row. So
who'd he ever beat? Jesus Christ.
I think this goes, and because also it went on. I mean, NWO lasted, what, 3-4 years? So it was a long feud. It was, like I said, it changed wrestling. It forced the WWE to then go into the Attitude Era.
Right.
So there's all kinds of reasons why I think this. The only reason I put Austin and Vince in front of it is because Austin and Vince is the thing that beat their ass.
Right. But I think, and at this point too, I think at that point, Vince really should be thanking Eric Bischoff, because without the NWO, I don't think we see Austin and Vince for one, and two, I don't think we see the Attitude Era as popular as it was at that time. Because without competition, it's like same old shit. But yeah, so I have no problem putting that at number two. I'm sure we'll get enough flack for that shit. But so what I'm going to add this week, we just mentioned it, mentioned two of the guys. I'm going to have the feud between Vince McMahon and Eric Bischoff. And without, you know, a lot of times you see now, you know, your owners, whatever you want to call them, CEOs on TV, it's like, oh fuck, why do we guys see these jackasses? That wasn't the case here with Vince and Eric. You wanted to see what Eric was going to say to kind of entice Vince to come to WCW, because you're not going to see Vince go out there and say, call out Eric Bischoff, hey, let's come to a WWF pay-per-view. You come to me, Vinnie Mac. Yeah, and I think that's
well. And he did challenge him to a fight.
When and Vince never showed up, so I guess that he's got one up on Vince.
I would rank this low, and I'll tell you why. I think the rivalry, the real rivalry, was Vince McMahon versus Ted Turner. I don't know that it was, at least in Vince's head, I don't think the rivalry was with Eric Bischoff. I think it was with Ted Turner. So other than the fight, other than the challenge that Bischoff put out to McMahon, I don't know that you can say there was much other meat on that bone.
But would you consider
them, you know, the Monday Night Wars in general?
Yeah.
Well, I'll give you this. Here's why I think it goes low. Because the stuff that was actually made the feud between the two, like Eric giving away Vince's finishes and Vince, you know, taking each other's wrestlers and all that, that wasn't on TV. That was behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So I don't see this feud as a big on TV feud. I see it more of a
personal feud.
Kind of, yeah.
But would you consider like the whole business end of it a feud, or would you just consider business as business?
Yeah. I think it's, I would put that one.
Because I had it there. I
couldn't put that in front of Rude and Warrior. I'd probably put it right underneath Tommy Dreamer and Raven.
Okay, there you go. Plaid Brad, we finally put something underneath Tommy Dreamer
and
Raven.
Just for Brad. I did that.
Have to do it, but because I have to do it, so I don't have to get the text messages, the damn emails, I get the faxes. I even gotten a goddamn carrier pigeon.
Let it be known that the person who finally gave love to Tommy Dreamer versus Raven was J fucking D. It's JD. He keeps saying every week, when is someone going to give love to Tommy and Raven? Well, I just did.
So you know what I'm going to do? You know what I'm going to do? Because he's going to know this before we put out the show. I'm going to take a picture of the list. I'm going to actually message him and say, you know what Justin did for you this week? You better be praising him on your show now.
He should praise me like he should. I wanna praise you.
I think we found our new drop for the show. I want to praise you like I should. And I really suck.
Acknowledge me.
Oh, God, don't start. Don't fucking start that shit. Don't start that shit, man. That's a hole that you're going to take a lot to get out of. You're going to take a lot of time to get out of that hole if you keep digging that one. But honestly, man, I really enjoying this rivalries thing. We got a really good list going here. I'll actually put this out momentarily as soon as we get off of here. I'll obviously we're recording on Friday night for next week. So obviously I'll be blacking out the or whiting out, I should say, the list that the additions that we just did here, so nobody knows where we're going to be putting them. But it is what it is. Justin, you know, next week we're going to be going over, we're going to have our last pay-per-view here of the month with No Mercies. We're going to go over the 2002 No Mercy.
I'm about to plead No Mercy if I have to watch any more No Mercies.
Well, this is the last No Mercy. I figured you'd be used to No Mercy because you know, you're a Cincinnati Bengals fan, but neither here nor there at this point. But we're actually gonna have, it's a decent pay per view, man. It's not that bad. It comes to us from Little Rock, North Little Rock, Arkansas. I didn't know there was North. I thought it was just Little Rock. Anyways, whatever. We got 10,000 fans.
Think I'm on a road here in Little Rock.
You're just full of it tonight, aren't you, bud? Buy rate of 300,000, so it was a decent little pay-per-view. Main eventing by a Hell in a Cell match between the WWE champion Brock Lesnar taking on the Undertaker. So it's a fairly interesting match if you go back and watch it. I implore a lot of you guys to do that. A decent match. Obviously, it's got, you know, a couple matches there that we'll definitely be able to rant about and get off into the weeds a little bit. But all in all, not too bad. It's main event with a Hell in a Cell, so I'm really looking forward to talking about that with you and Dave, if he's back in town by then. But, you know, I'm sure he will be. So looking forward to that, Justin. But what else you have before we close shop tonight?
Nothing. Day as always, and we will see you all once again here next week. Hopefully we'll have our little goose hunting friend back, Pondwater Dave, and we will be back here Friday on another episode of Ringside Rant.